An imaginative, visionary sci-fi trilogy comes to its conclusion.
And we continue Matrix Month as we cover the third film in the franchise, The Matrix Revolutions.
How Star Wars is it?
Well, hello there, Mike.
Hi, Josiah.
Welcome to the show, everybody. Hello, listeners.
Yes, hello, listeners, new and old alike.
Both new and old from a listening standpoint and an age standpoint.
Yeah, if you're a baby,
are you a baby and you're listening to this?
Uh-huh.
Are you an old person and you're listening to this? Either one would be surprising.
Yeah, my guess is you are not either of those.
You're probably, if I had to guess, you're
probably like
20 something.
20 or 30.
Yeah.
welcome to the show. Here on this show, we rate and review everything on a scale of 1 to 10 of how Star Wars that thing is.
That's
the only thing we do.
Yeah, that's what we do. What does that mean? Well, we are not concerned with how good or bad something is. No. We
want to know how Star Wars... Only with regard to how good or bad Star Wars is.
Only in relation to how Star Wars that makes it. So we take everything Star Wars, we put it in one big pot, we mix it up. Well, everything is Star Wars. We're talking books, movies, TV shows, comics, toys, all of it.
Right. The entire canon, the entire legends...
Mm-hmm. And that pot is the Star Wars chili. It's a 10 out of 10. We put it on to simmer. It's really yummy. That's a 10 out of 10. That's what we compare things to. So we are trying to figure out how Star Wars everything is. And this week we are continuing Matrix Month, which is exciting because this is the third movie in the franchise and we are prepping for the fourth movie.
Yes,
okay, good. Right. I did pull up. Okay, this might surprise you. I've got the metrics based on Spotify.
The metrics.
I've got the matrix based on Spotify for the age groups of our listeners.
Uh-huh.
So, yes, there are 0% are above 60. So we were correct.
Above 60.
Well, I don't know. Hold on. Get this. 39% are from 0 to 17 years old. So, could be some babies.
Could be some babies in there.
I bet that most of them are probably above the age of probably like, I don't know, 13 or 14.
Right.
It's kind of weird that they say 0 to 17.
Yeah.
But there could be some babies.
Yeah, in fact, I think like across the board, at least from the US standpoint, the law of like having an account on the internet, you like have to be at least 13 or something like that.
That's true. So either everyone's 13 and older, or we've got some really savvy babies.
Or people are lying about the year they were born.
That's true. I always wondered about that, like especially early internet, whenever you were going to
are
some...
Are you 18?
Yeah, some sites that might have some bad stuff that are not safe for work. And they'd be like, are you over 18? And I'd be like, yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely.
Are you going to come to my house?
What are you going to do? You going to card me? You can't.
Right.
You're a website.
Whereas I was like... Oh, no. Okay, I'm not. Never mind.
I'll see myself out. Mike, the first time Mike got carded when he was underage, he went in and he told on himself. He was like, actually, I'm not allowed to be here.
I will give you my ID and you'll see that I'm 15.
I just thought I'd try.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Thought I'd come in here and try and I couldn't do it. I was afraid. But what are we doing?
But this month, with regard to how Star Wars they are, we're covering the Matrix canon. Now, we did cover the original Matrix movie long, long ago. I want to say it was in the 20s or 30s of episodes. I think we looked at this last week, and I already don't remember that discussion, nor do I remember the score we gave it.
Well, I have great news for you, because I just...
A 6 and a 6.5?
Of what we gave the
Matrix
number two
Reloaded,
Revolutions,
Reloaded.
Yes, we gave Reloaded a 6 and a 6.5.
Yes, okay.
And
so
we
spoilers
gave
if you're just catching up and you didn't listen to last week's episode.
And if we were to re-rate the original Matrix, I think we'd probably give it something like a 6.
Yeah.
Maybe a 7, possibly. But in the original, in the old days, we gave it I think a 7 and an 8, which is hilarious
because we've recently fouled up the whole because basically if it's an 8 or above, it has to be Star Wars. We've kind of come to realize.
Yeah, we thought we were doing a good thing by going back and re-rating all the Star Wars movies.
Yeah, but what
and
we've
really
done is made it more analytical and less fun.
So I think that we have a discussion we have to have where we talk about the Michael Delaney idea of like maybe 10 is where all Star Wars movies live. And then we just get inside there.
Like, you can like filter
enhance.
By, yeah, right, enhance.
Enhance the number 10, and then you down. See, oh, well, this is the order of them inside the 10.
Right.
But whatever. who cares? No one, I mean, it's fine.
So I need to get my notes up, actually, because I watched this movie actually now a couple of months ago, I think.
I watched it a couple days ago.
Let's see, Matrix
so
Revolution.
I just discovered something right before we started recording, which might confirm for me.
Mm-hmm.
This is wild. This movie was released 6 months after the second one.
Right.
They were released in the same calendar year, yeah. 2003.
Which is
which
funny.
I
you
didn't
would
know.
Think they would be a bit more similar to one another if they were shot like so quickly against one another. I don't know. Maybe that like isn't a good way to think of them because they are very similar. But you know, like the actress who played the Oracle died, and they
got
like her like last few scenes for Reloaded. That's like why her scene
That's
in that
why
movie
her
was just like sitting
changed.
On a bench, like because she was like really sick and couldn't even really like move around or whatever.
That's very sad.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I should have looked up why the actor changed. I just thought it was something they were doing in with the plot.
Which is funny. They say on the Blank Check podcast, like, it's funny that then they had to do sort of like a written line or two to sort of justify like why the Oracle looks a little different. And it's like because something like they managed to corrupt her somehow and they changed her shell or something like that.
Yes,
but like
she had to find a new shell.
Griffin's point was, well, then it should have been like a little Chinese boy or something. Like, how cool would it have been to be like a completely different? But I mean, like, by that point, they've given us such a like specific language. They probably just did like cast another person who auditioned for the same role, you know, once upon
a
time.
Right. And also, they don't want like, I don't know. Like,
even more confusion.
Yes, exactly. Because it's like we have the language of this older black woman is the Oracle.
Right.
And so like if you come in with the third movie finishing out the series and you're like, it's not an older black woman.
It's a pretty strange choice to do that.
It'd be like, wait, huh? But also it is the Matrix and anybody can look like presumably anything.
Right.
So I don't know. Okay, big picture. What is this movie? Big picture, here's what I want to say.
So where do we leave off?
Where did we leave off with The Matrix Reloaded?
Neo was in a coma.
Neo
so
was in a coma.
Bane.
Bane. It's why did they ever have someone on their team named Bane?
Yeah.
It's funny that his name was Bane and he's the one that
turned it's
up
like having
corrupted.
Someone's code name be Jafar.
Yeah. And then they end up being the bad guy and you're like, oh, who knew? Okay, here's some big picture stuff that I want to say before we get into like plot.
Yeah, sure.
This movie has the disadvantage. Okay, Reloaded has the advantage of being a part one of a two-part story, basically. And so it feels like, it almost feels like it can be a movie by itself because it's got a cliffhanger.
Yeah.
This movie isn't even trying to be a movie by itself.
Yes.
It's very much just
like,
continuing the last one.
Yeah.
And so like watching it by itself, it does not feel like a standalone experience at all.
Yeah.
Like the Reloaded had the advantage of being like, oh, here's some new information like that we didn't tell you in the first movie. Like we're going to introduce some new ideas. And then it has a cliffhanger-ish. And then this one is like, no really new ideas, just we gotta wrap everything up.
Yeah, there's like three or four new characters, none of whom have like any
weight
characterization. Yeah.
No. And like it's just like literally being like, we have one movie to finish up this whole plot that we've been putting forth, and we're not even gonna try to give this a whole like, I mean, I guess you could argue there's like a beginning, middle, end of this movie, but it really doesn't have much of a structure beyond, let's tie this thing up.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, like for all of its flaws, Reloaded did introduce a lot of new cool stuff. It also introduced Zion. You know, like it did have, you're right, it had like a, it had all the sort of unanswered questions left from a world building standpoint from the first movie to start addressing. And then this one was like, you guys didn't really like that last one, did you? Huh. Well, we got a two-movie contract and here's the end.
Yeah, we got to finish this. We got to finish this series. So I didn't take a whole lot of notes because I was slightly distracted watching this because I had a kind of a busy week. And so even like distracted watching, I could still tell. I was like, I think I'd have a hard time knowing what's going on whether or not I was distracted.
Right. Yeah. I will also take the moment here again to point out Patrick H. Willems rewriting the Matrix sequels video because
I want to watch that.
He does a great job of giving this movie something to be, you know, like what your point, he makes that same point, if I remember correctly, that it's like, this movie doesn't have an awful lot of new things for our characters to do.
Yeah, so let's talk about
like,
our characters.
For example, this should be the Smith movie.
Yeah,
like instead of how last one also had him.
There's a weird splitting up of like there's still some Merovingian in this.
Which,
but then
by the way,
also
the first note I wrote is about the Merovingian. It's when they go back to him and Trinity, I think she has a gun pulled on him or something, and she goes, "What's it gonna be, Merv?"
Yes,
and she calls him Merv.
Calling him Merv is such a power move.
Yeah, like, it's just like so funny that like it's almost endearing.
Yeah, it's
in
like
a threatening way.
It's like, do they know each other?
It'd be like calling him like darling, but like Merv is like the first like four of the first five letters of his name.
Yeah, Merovingian. It's like Merv. I love it.
Yeah, it's really funny.
So let's see. Let's start out. Let's try to explain what's going on in this movie.
Yeah.
At the end of the last movie, Neo realizes he has powers in real life.
Yeah, perhaps.
He can control the machines or stop the machines or something along those lines.
But it manages to fry his brain and they don't have access to him.
He's in a coma. Also, the war effort of the humans was sabotaged by someone named Bane, who we as the audience knows was corrupted by Agent Smith in the real world as well. So like Agent Smith is essentially operating in the real world through this guy.
He's running amok in both Matrix and real world.
And that's kind of where we left the machines are still coming to kill Zion.
Yeah.
And their war effort has been hurt by the efforts of Bane in the real world. And they're still waiting on hearing from the Oracle, or they're trying to hear something from the Oracle because Neo wants to talk to her after he talked to the architect, who basically told him that the Matrix is just one of several Matrixes that have been that have happened.
Right. Yeah, so in fact, the machines are still coming to Zion. They're coming now expecting a fight.
Yes.
As opposed to sort of a massacre. I mean, like, I think it's going to end up being like a massacre either way. But like, predictable humans being what they are, the one was supposed to have sort of essentially invited them in to decimate everybody and only leave however many people to start the population again.
Right. But
Neo didn't
do
that
because he's in
love.
So
they're all strapping up on their aliens power loaders.
Yes, God, those things are so goofy. I mean, they're not. They're cool, but they're so like, they are just the aliens' power loader, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That it feels...
Yeah, I think someone in all the many things I've watched on YouTube about this, like, says, a big problem with the Zion fight is, like, the geography is a little confusing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like, Helm's Deep is a perfect battle because there's a big, thick line between the people you're cheering for and the people you hope don't win.
Right, and you know that, like, if the bad guys get past that line, it's bad.
Yeah.
And you kind of can't tell... In this one, because once the battle comes to Zion, you kind of can't tell. You're like, okay, well, they breached this area, so did we lose? But then they're shooting them with a million bullets, and you're like, okay, well, I guess we didn't lose yet. So what are we trying to keep
them? The geography thing is now making me wonder, the stakes of the end of Star Wars are you got to get through the trench to this target. Why? They're in outer space. Why didn't they go toward the target before getting in the trench?
Yeah, they could have just dropped in anywhere, you know? Or, like, hear me out, this is crazy. I guess they had to get in and break down the shields. But no, because the thing is that the ground team's taking down the shields.
No, I mean in A New Hope. When...
What
when
do you
they
say?
Do the assault on the Death Star, the X-Wing assault on the Death yes. Star to like fire the balls into the hole, why didn't they fly closer to the hole first
to
before
start out
getting
with?
To the death? You know, like yeah, it's all yeah, about yeah. the vector off of the planet. Why didn't they aim?
That's a good question. At that. They could have just started
if they
out.
They knew where it was.
Well, I guess they. Let's see. In universe, what's the rationale? Is it
I don't know.
Is it more heavily guarded near the exhaust port, or did they?
Maybe it would have like flagged the. It would have like turned them on, like the enemy onto yeah. what the strategy was sooner or something. But the enemy even figures it out. The guy, the like admiral or captain or whatever, goes to Tarkin and is like, "There might be a weakness, sir. Should we evacuate?" You know?
Yeah. Like, maybe they had to get a really good running start in order to get the torpedoes fast enough. They're like, "We gotta."
Yeah.
It's a Back to the Future situation where they're like, "We have to make sure uh-huh. we're going 88 miles per hour for yeah. like 10 minutes."
Right.
And that way the torpedoes will be fast enough. I mean, if we want to get. Like, if we're talking space, even though there's not, like, science or math in space, but, like, you could have just shot a missile from very far away and done uh-huh. the math of exactly where it would land because
yeah, or
stuff...
like, we know very well that there's robots.
Yeah.
There could be some sort of guided drone missile.
Like, one thing that's cool about space is that it's a vacuum, and so if you shoot something, it's just going to go exactly where you uh-huh. pointed it. And so they could have pointed it exactly where the exhaust port was going to be.
Like, yeah.
But no one knows math in Star Wars, so I'm not going to fault them for that. Like, there's this... Like,
and at least the movie tells us, here's the stakes. You have to go down a trench, and there's a target at the end. It's 3 meters wide. You know, like, it's not like we don't know what's happening. They, you know, whereas in this movie, it's sort of like, I hope the humans don't die.
There's a really cool... speaking of stuff in space, there's a really cool part of... slash scary part of the Three-Body Problem trilogy books that I read,
yeah,
where
yeah.
someone's trying to make... these deaths in space look like an accident, so they get bullets made of like asteroids and they are in space and they shoot people with these asteroid bullets, and so and they're also like very far away, and so no one stops to go like maybe they could have been shot because it's like they were so far away, all they had to do was
yeah.
point to where they were going to be and shoot because yeah. it was a straight shot, and then everyone thinks that they died in a freak asteroid, like mini asteroid accident,
yeah,
instead
sure.
of them actually getting shot. And I was like,
that's good thinking.
And I was like, then that's just one other thing that they could have done, shot an asteroid at the Death Star. Anyway, Matrix Revolutions.
Yeah, I'm looking at my notes.
So when we're starting this movie, Neo is in sort of a liminal space. He's in a half, like...
Yes, he's at Mobile Avenue subway stop, which, of course, if you rearrange the letters of Mobile, it's Limbo.
Limbo. He is jacked in, but not physically actually jacked in the real world. So his mind is still in the Matrix somehow.
Yeah, it's in like a boot-up...
Yes.
Like program, you know?
Yes. The way that it's explained to him is sort of like, this is how stuff gets from your world to our world. Like, it's like living in a flash drive or something. You know what I mean?
Or it's like being in the trash can before it gets emptied.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And so...
Like, you're cordoned off from the system, but you're still within the system.
And he's being kept there... And somehow, and I was unclear of how he ended up there in the first place. I guess like because of his like little power surge he did.
Yeah, I mean, I think we got to something last week where like we know that the machines let a single anomaly happen every Matrix. It's the one. It's Neo.
Right.
So like whatever kind of software shit is going on in the harvesters of all the human energy batteries, like that particular one has like juice. Go into it.
Right. And he and we know that Neo is like not part machine but has something sort of has algorithmic things going on in his body to where he can like access the Matrix and control machines in different ways because of how he's the anomaly. But so basically the Merovingian's keeping him there because the Merovingian doesn't like him and
right.
wants him dead. And our team of Trinity and Morpheus and Seraph are trying to free him from there, and they do. They essentially threaten the Merovingian. Like, it looks like there's going to be another side quest happening because the Merovingian's
right.
like, he's like, bring me the Oracle's eyes. But then Trinity's like, fuck this. I think she literally
yeah.
says, fuck this. Or she says, I don't have time for this shit.
What's it going to be, Merv?
What's it going to be, Merv?
It's cool that the trio right now is Trinity, a person, Morpheus, a person, and a computer guy.
Yeah, a computer guy.
It'd be Seraph. Like if you and I teamed up with like Samus.
Yeah, if we team up with Clippy, and we were like. but Clippy was really good.
It looks
good
like you're trying to hold our savior hostage.
Can I not help Can you I with that? Can I hinder you with that? For our younger, for our 0 to 17 crowd, Clippy was a program.
Was a paperclip. He's a paperclip. With eyeballs.
With eyeballs. I think he had shoes, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know.
He popped up in Microsoft Word and other Microsoft things to help you try to do the things that you were doing.
He'd
and
be he like, would, it looks like you're trying to build a resume. Do you want to use a template?
Yeah, or like, it looks like you're trying to format this. Can I show you this formatting tool? And then he'd like point stuff out to you. It's one of the many fun little things that happened back in the old days of computers.
Yeah, the Wild West.
The 90s. It was like, stuff was advanced enough to where we could have a little guy pop up on our screen, but not advanced enough to where he had any actual usefulness at all.
Right, yeah. It was like to help you with bullets, columns, and resumes.
Yeah, I feel like the first thing everyone did when they got a new Microsoft Word would be like, okay, and turning off
and
Clippy.
Never show him again.
Yes, and be like, go ahead and hide that.
Send him to the train man.
Yes. That was just, what if we saw like Microsoft 98 is in there with the train man, just like sad.
It's that like, would be funny. Oh, you know, I think I failed to mention this from my notes last week. Maybe I didn't, but when the architect's doing his whole speech to Neo about like all the different reboots of the Matrix, the second one was full of grotesqueries and horrible whatever. It showed just, you know, on his screens, you see all the kind of just hell imagery or whatever. But there was also like Saddam Hussein was on there, but so was George W. Bush.
Hell yeah, dude.
Which is like, get him, Wachowskis!
Fuck yeah! Fuck yeah! That rules.
Anyway, I just remembered that I forgot to say that last week.
That fucking rules. I love the Wachowskis. It's Wachowskis, right? Not Wachowskis?
Yeah.
Shout out to the Wachowski sisters. They're the bomb. Yeah. Wait, is one of them not working on the new Matrix? Is
correct.
That right? Okay, right.
Yeah. In fact, I think the new one was co-written by one of them and another person.
I learned this last night because I texted Mike. I was out for a little concert dinner thing with Charlie and my girlfriend, and there was someone at the table next was talking about the Matrix, and like I was eavesdropping heavily. And the woman talking about them had worked with one of them. I don't remember which one, but she was talking about she like has some film job where she's in a union, and I'm assuming is like some form of on set.
It may have been work in progress.
It might have been work in progress. It might have been
one of them works on that show. And they are Chicagoans. Like there's a lot of Chicago imagery and words in the Matrix movies. And then here's a fun little tangent of my relation to them, albeit like diluted all to hell. So the company where I work is a design company that like spun out of a scenic fabrication company. You know, like set design. They build the sets. So we're sister companies. Before the building where we are now, they were in a building in Ravenswood. The place is called Ravenswood Studio. Before that, they were in a different, smaller building. You know, like they've upgraded through the decades or whatever. But I think it was that second one, the one most recent before the building that we're in now, that our owner bought that building from the Wachowskis.
Oh, wow.
Like, they had it as, like, a Chicago base of operations, and then they, you know, became Hollywood people.
That's really cool.
The company's old. The company's been around since, like, the late 80s. But my sort of sister company I work for has only been around for, like, a decade. But
gotcha.
Anyway, that's kind of a cool, weird, like, yeah, Chicago artist theater people.
Yes, little connection. Yeah. Well, shout out to the Wachowskis for going anti-Bush. That fucking rules. Ahead of the curve, as always. But not necessarily ahead of the curve as far as making a really cohesive trilogy.
Sure, yeah. So that's what the majority of my notes are here, which is like, this is a complicated movie, which is funny because it is mostly a like wrapping up loose ends movie, but it does still have some complicated things. Two I'd like to highlight, which are both to do with Smith putting his personality into other people. We're jumping around plot-wise, but they save Neo, and then they have to save the day. And the saving the day is both, It's the sort of Return of the Jedi thing. There's the fight over here, and then there's the fight over here. There's the Matrix fight, and then there's the Zion fight.
Something very Star Wars is that there's a ground team, an air team, and a control room team.
Yeah, right, because the in order to defeat Smith, they have to get on the Nebuchadnezzar and fly up above the clouds and get to the Machine City.
Oh, you know what? Let me break it down even further. So in the final battle, big picture plot, the Nebuchadnezzar is trying to make it back to the final battle as fast as they can so they can help. The final battle is happening, and there is like people on the ground that we don't care about, who we don't really know.
Right. Yeah, we've never
fighting
met them.
With like artillery and these big,
which is why that should be Morpheus.
Yeah, yes, they're fighting with these big like we said, the aliens, like loaders things. They're just little like robot exoskeletons. They're in mechs. And then there's the sort of general guy from the first one. Okay, right. So that is our general guy from the first one is our Leia in the control room, kind of like talking about stuff. Ground team is the guys in the mech suits, which are like the your Han or whoever on the place in Endor, on the moon of Endor or whatever. Then you've got the air team, who are the guys in the X-Wings, and that's the crew of the people who are in the Nebuchadnezzar
Your
trying to get back.
Band.
Yeah, Jada Pinkett Smith is trying to get back with Morpheus.
Who and has then, the best line in this whole movie when she's flying the Nebuchadnezzar or whichever ship it ends up being through the sewers, and it's like no one can go through an electrical line or whatever the like little teeny skinny thing
mechanical
is.
Line, yeah.
She says, she's got a big ass.
Yeah, there's two distinct big ass comments in this movie.
And are there really?
Yeah, because there's one like whenever they're who says it, it's very early on, someone says, one of the bad guys says, over my big dead ass, and it's like what, why would you say
that's really weird.
But then all that to say, there's a set because you have those three teams,
right,
but then there's always a Jedi thing going on where it's like just Luke and the Emperor, and so we have
the
that
spiritual thing.
So we have that with Neo and the machine. So Neo has gone off on his own thing to do the Jedi thing, and then we have
Bane
a ground
has
team
blinded him,
yes, we have a ground team
can see because there's machinery everywhere and he can see their code.
So the structure of this sort of final battle is very Star Wars.
Yeah,
because
it's very Phantom Menace, it's very Rise of Skywalker, it's very Return of the Jedi.
Yep, exactly.
It's very the fucking Han movie, what's that one called?
Solo.
The Force Awakens.
Oh, the Han movie.
But you're
movie.
Right, that is what the Han movie is called.
I was like,
I was thinking of the other one.
Yeah, it is. I feel like you could even make the argument like the first part of Last Jedi has aspects of this.
Yeah, sure.
There's aspects of almost every movie. The first part of Empire has aspects of this, the control room versus the ground team versus the air team.
Yep.
So the structure is very Star Wars.
The stakes of the Zion fight are very clear, which is I think probably why we don't have any like characters we care about there, because it's like the robots with guns are shooting at the people with guns.
Yes.
And you want the people to win. But the stakes of the Neo thing are that the Matrix is now being overrun, and the machines need the Matrix so that they can keep controlling the humans to use them as batteries, and they're all being corrupted by Smith. So Neo thinks he knows what he can do to bring peace. He's gonna try to fight Smith, convince the machines that we shouldn't be fighting, we both need each other, kind of. And he's gonna go fight Smith. The thing I was gonna say about the two elements of this, you know what else I failed to mention last week? The line of Harold Perrineau, who plays Link, the operator in the second movie and third movie, when he comes home and he goes, where's my puss?
Yeah, what the hell?
He notices there's a child there, so he stops what he was gonna say. But was he gonna say, where's my pussy?
Yeah, because that's a weird thing to say.
It's really weird. Anyway, the two things that are like kind of cool sci-fi concepts that we haven't yet seen in this are both Smith related, where he like, you know, gets himself into people. One is the Oracle. He takes over the Oracle's body, so he like wins that part of the war, because she's sort of like getting the queen in a chess game.
Because he
now has the ability to like see the future.
Right.
kind of.
Well, he has the ability, because what the Oracle says is like, no one can see beyond a choice they don't understand.
Yes, right.
And so if as long as he can understand a choice, he can see what will happen.
So he's got the Star Wars thing of having a dream of the future, but not realizing it's knowing that that's his ultimate downfall kind of thing.
Right.
You know, like an Oedipus kind of thing.
He basically sees himself winning against Neo, but what he doesn't realize is that is what Neo wants.
Yes.
Because Neo's whole plan is to essentially put on a good show to make it seem convincing and then lose to Agent Smith so that he can be corrupted, turned into Agent Smith. But
Because that's the other piece of this that I wrote down, was like, when Smith puts himself into Neo and takes over Neo, Neo is not jacked in via the Nebuchadnezzar or a pirate signal. He's jacked in from Machine City.
Yeah, the source itself, like literally.
And so it's basically like Smith telling his creators, here I am.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, come delete me, you know, like, which I think is like a really neat, special, specific concept.
It
you
is
know?
Cool, like, and I didn't even pick up on that. What I thought it was is that the, because I think that's definitely part of it for sure, because like what I thought it was is that because he was taking over Neo and Neo's the one and is an anomaly, he was unable to be completely turned, and so because he had the power of the machines on his side, he's able to then, now that he's inside of Smith's system, to destroy it. But I think that you're right too. I think that's
it's sort of like revealing your IP address on the dark web. You know, like, all of a sudden the machines are like, we got him. We can, like, entirely drain his bank account.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably closer to what it is, because that makes more sense to me. And is also a cool, another cool sci-fi idea.
But here we both are talking about it because we didn't quite follow it.
Yeah.
Yet again, the problem of these movies.
Yeah. There is, man, here's, I think, maybe my biggest issue with, like, honestly, like, these two movies, Reloaded and Revolutions, might have been better if they were one movie.
Yeah, or another, this is, again, stealing a point from the Blank Check guys, or if it was, like, Fast and Furious, where we can explore one of these topics each time. Like, the idea of, like, old programs being werewolves and stuff, that could have been a whole movie.
Okay, that's true.
It could have been, like, a weird horror movie where it's, like, all gothic.
Yes. Matrix 2 and 3 should have either been one movie or, like, six movies. And, like, really the fact that they're two is to their downfall, because there's, like, we do, and, like, they could have even had some interesting war stuff, like, with the ground team that we, because, like, the kid comes back and we're like, we don't care about you. And there's like a hardcore general who, like, we don't care about you.
Yeah.
And Link's wife, girlfriend.
But he performs the hell out of that role.
Oh, he goes hard. Also, I love that knuckle up is the only command. Like, he says it no matter, like, he says it twice. And I'm like,
yeah.
And both times it just means shoot at the sky. And I'm like, was there really any other things to do in this fight? Because everyone was already shooting at the sky.
It's like when they interview a coach at halftime and the team is down, like, well, you know, what we got to do in the next half is get more points than the other team.
Yeah, we got to score some more touchdowns.
How about we shoot the bad guys?
Yeah, he goes, knuckle up, which I guess means shoot up in the sky. Yeah. And then he says it again later. And I'm like, they couldn't have given...
But it's cool Matrix lingo.
Yeah, knuckle up.
Yeah.
Let's see.
But yeah, no, here's what I will say, though, about the point you just made. I think these could have been two movies, covered all the same amount of stuff, but just been clearer about it.
Yeah.
Because, like the Skywalker saga, as it were, these movies aren't necessarily about all that tangential stuff. It's about Neo and Trinity and Morpheus, you know?
Yeah, so, for sure.
I'm glad that they were still at the center of it, but yeah, you're right. It is sort of like to their detriment that they have all these other cool ideas and they tried to get them in there and it was kind of squishy.
I am excited for this new Matrix movie.
Me too, man.
Because here's another thought that's happening. I think that the first Matrix came out at the exact right time.
That's right.
And it was the exact right level of special effects. It was the exact right level of everything.
Popcorn, but philosophy.
Yeah. And it's like almost a perfect movie. You know, there's like, it's expertly crafted. It feels like the sequels came out at the exact wrong time, because it was 2003 and it was sort of just like a, well, I don't know, we'll put in a bunch of CG stuff, but CG stuff didn't look good enough yet for it to age very well.
Gooey.
And so it's like, it has that sort of prequels issue where it's like some stuff hasn't aged well because it's very much, you can tell it was all made in a computer. Whereas like even stuff nowadays that's a CGI fest at least looks more real to our eye, even though we know it's computer animated.
Well, and this you know what? If this podcast were How Back to the Future Is It, the Matrix trilogy would get like high points, because the first script was honed over like a decade, and then finally a studio was like, okay, fine, we'll make this movie. And then it was a huge hit. They rush out two sequels in the same calendar year. And the Back to the Future sequels are arguably like pretty good, but certainly not as perfect and tight as the original movie. But like, you know, the third one is because Robert Zemeckis always wanted to make a Western.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, why not?
Okay, so you did sort of give the creators control of like, we want to try out all our other ideas, and then it was met with mixed reception.
Yeah, there's like, I almost wish that the first Matrix had come out and then now we were getting Reloaded. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like we would have a better movie, both because like the Wachowskis...
The idea of the system of control is actually multiple levels.
Yes. Like, so much of it would hit harder, and also the effects would be better and would like hit our... I mean, this is also just recency bias for computer effects, because I'm sure I'm going to say the same thing in 20 years about like Avengers Endgame. I'll be like, it looks so stupid, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, it looks like Superman from the 1970s.
Right. Exactly. And so but like all that to say, like, yeah, it just feels like these movies came out too fast and
too furious
Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
And that if they had come out, I don't know, later and had more time to cook, they would have been better. But even like but I mean a lot later. Like, that's why I'm excited about this new one, because I'm like seeing at least, which one is it, Lily or what's the other one?
I never remember now.
Lily and something. They're both L names.
Lana are the two.
Lana. Whichever one is making the new one, I'm like, well, they've had two decades since this movie, since the original came out, to like really hone their craft. And I'm like, so it's going to be just like they're better at making movies now. Whether or not this movie will be better than The Matrix is, of course, something that's probably won't happen.
Lana is the new one.
Lana is directing the new one. Like, they've had all this time to get good at making movies. And also, I'll say, Keanu Reeves has had all this time to get better at acting. And he's also like, I mean, it's not, he's always kind of doing his Keanu Reeves thing throughout all his career. But like now that he's sort of in the John Wick stage of his life, it's just like, no matter what he's doing, as long as he's being an action guy, he's like, I believe it. You know what I mean? And so I feel like he's going to be better in these movies. Like, Trinity is going to be better in these movies. Like, everyone's going to... Morpheus is not in them because he is canonically dead, I think.
Is that right?
I believe so.
Because isn't he the only survivor of the main trio at the end of Revolutions?
Well, yes, but there is a...
Isn't that what... happens?
There was a bit, this I only know this because of a bit on My Brother and Me, but apparently in the Matrix Online video game, Morpheus dies.
Interesting. Okay.
So he might not
be
in this.
Well, that is a funny thing about this canon, is there are, you know, like in Star Wars, they would never have like Chewbacca die in a comic book.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like, he did die in a novel at one point, but that was when we didn't know there'd be more Star Wars. They would never have like a main character die in a way that wasn't one of the main films, but like The Matrix has an awful lot of other lore in non-film formats that like I think they care about just as much, and like for real lore heads, I think they probably lap up everything that comes out. You know, like I just started rewatching the Animatrix this morning, and there's some stuff in there that it's like, this fucking rules.
Yeah.
And I'm really glad it exists.
Okay, so I just looked it up. There rumors and the popular belief that his death was faked, because it's in the Matrix Online, the video game. That this whole and this was in 2005, so like there was a whole event that happened online in this video game where Morpheus dies, quote unquote, but a lot of people believe that it was fake. And also I'm seeing that the character is portrayed by a different actor in Matrix Resurrections. So
is there the character Morpheus in Resurrections? Is
it
that
looks
how it's credited?
Like,
because there is a guy, a younger black man who perceivably could be.
So I mean,
by his look.
Yes, that is who is playing.
That's what I'm seeing. That's
the name is Morpheus. The name is Morpheus, but it's a different actor, and so it's. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see why and what. I kind of don't want to look into it at all because I want to. Like,
I know this is one where I'm like, I think I have the opportunity to not know anything going into this movie.
Yeah, and that is what I did that with. A couple of Star Wars flicks, I like didn't learn much about. I think about Force Awakens. I just kind of like kept myself pretty in the dark, right. And I kind of like that. It's also, man, it looks slick. Like the new Matrix looks really slick. It looks super slick.
I'm excited. That was something I was actually somewhat nervous about because the original movies have such a
vibe. Grit.
Even to its downfall, sometimes with the goopy CGI, but like I do sort of like the goopy CGI for that movie, you know?
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
But yeah, I think it looks pretty good. And here's my thing. What's the worst that could happen? It's worse than the sequels. I don't think that's gonna happen.
No, I mean,
I don't think it will be worse than the sequels, and I like the sequels.
Yeah, I think that like worst case scenario, like even if it is worse than the sequels, it's like, oh well, who cares? Like we still have, because there already are bad film versions of the Matrix, you know? So it's like, it feels sort of, honestly, also a new slick version of a series coming out. Like, we'll talk about that when we do the episode on the new movie, but it's just super Star Wars to be like, well, now we have this new thing happening.
Remember this, but now they're older?
Well, let's see. We've talked about a couple Star Wars points. I think we've done the greater part of what this movie is about, and it is about time to go to the break.
It is, yes.
So should we jump into the pit?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yahoo!
And we're back.
I guess we should have said the movie ends. Most of the people die. Sati from the train station makes a beautiful sunset.
Yeah,
and the Oracle comes back because they reboot the Matrix yet again. But the idea now is humans are still held under the control of the Matrix unless they don't want to be, which is like I guess that's a resolution.
There is no longer everything is this. Everyone has been taken out away from whoever was taken over by Agent Smith is now not taken over by Agent Smith because they purged his influence, and now there is just no war. There is still the system of oppression of the Matrix where they are harvesting human energy or whatever, but there's just not a war happening now for the foreseeable future, until of course who knows,
which is fine.
Yeah, it's better than the alternative, I guess.
I mean, lots of people make the point, you know, like Cypher in the first movie is like, if I have the choice between this shit or the Matrix, I'm choosing the Matrix. Like,
yeah. I mean,
it's real enough and I can taste steak.
Exactly. And I don't have to live in like squalor all the time. Yeah, I feel like, although it does feel like a tenuous thing, cause it's like, well, are you going to keep red pilling people? Because if you keep red pilling people, then eventually the machines are going to be like, hey, stop. We still need batteries.
I think it's more like, you know, the agents aren't going to go after you when you, like, give someone a sproingy smart cell phone and say, like, their agent's here, leave the office out the window. You know, like, I think it's like, if someone is on the internet hacker sites that everybody goes to, ostensibly,
well, cause
and
it's
they're
1999,
like, what is the Matrix? That person just gets to get out. Because they do make a point in, like, extended lore that, like, the select few who sort of figure out that the reality is not what it seems are like a hyper small percent of people. So.
Man, that's such an interesting thing that pops up in so many alternate reality things. Like I'm just thinking about comics because in the House of M event that happened in comics where the Scarlet Witch like rewrites reality basically and mutants are everywhere and they're on top and like there's not oppressed. Wolverine is the only one that knows that this is not the real reality.
Because of his healing factor.
I don't even know what the rationale is, but there's I'm not even sure if they ever made one, but like, there's always like someone who knows something is off.
Doesn't smell right.
And there was like a more recent one they did, I think it was like Heroes Reborn, where it was also like an alternate reality where like the Avengers never got created. And like Hulk is the only one that remembers for some reason. But it's like Hulk is like saying things like, everything is fine. Hulk does not miss his friends. And they're like, is he crazy? And it's like, no, he's just remembering the real world, and right. for some reason he's the only one that remembers. But like, I don't know, it's like you always have
it's
to
what
have...
they make us be in WandaVision.
Yes,
if
correct.
You watch it week to week, you start seeing like people in the town or other characters kind of like look a little off, and you're like, what is going on here?
Right, that's a good point. That's actually kind of a cool thing that
like,
we get
we're
to be
the Wolverine.
Yes,
yeah.
We're the ones that know, okay, this isn't right. And then that's a fun man, that show is good. I feel like,
yeah, like that very first episode when the like boss and his wife come over to their house for dinner, and the boss like starts choking, and it's like, this is not 50s cute sitcom. And like the wife is like, stop, you can't be choking, like you're supposed to be in a cute 50s sitcom, you know, like we the audience are going like, what the fuck.
I feel like, man, I need to watch Hawkeye now, because I do like the story comic book line that it was based off of.
Right.
I actually sold those comics for a pretty penny, because they were I had original editions of all of them.
Like of single issues?
Single issues, yeah. And they weren't super, no one expected it to be good, so there weren't that many, and so I got to sell them for a decent amount of money. Should we do the
anyway,
game?
Anyway, yeah. So I teased this a little bit on the Patreon episode that either comes out in 2 days or has already come out. But either way, if you want to hear me tease things, you should subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/howstarwarsisit.
We do a lot of teasing on there. We tease each other. We're like, you look silly, you know, stuff like that.
So there's this British game show called Only Connect, or quiz show, as they would say. And I have recently sort of discovered it and gone down the rabbit hole, to use a Matrix/Alice in Wonderland term. And it's awesome, and I love watching it. And it is like, it is a show that if they made an American version, the American version would be like 100% easier.
Sure.
From a difficulty level, because like the shit they do on the show is so out there, but then also it's very British. So there's things that like, as I watch, I can't even get the answer, because I like don't know slang terms, or like candy bar names in England aren't the same as here. So like that, for example,
Rockets anyway, or Smarties or whatever,
the,
you know,
the basic premise of the game is like, you'll get four clues and they're all connected in a very specific way, and you have to say what the connection is. In fact, more specifically, the game is broken into four rounds. The first round is that, what I just said. You get clues one at a time, and with each one you get, you have the chance of getting fewer points until all four are out, and then you can still solve it and get 1 point. And what you're solving there is, how are these four things connected? The second round is done in the same way, but you get a sequence of things. You get three, and then you have to say what you think the fourth thing is going to be. Sometimes also it's like a picture. So like, it'll be like, what's the fourth? And you have to say, it'll be a picture of a school bus, but the school bus is green. Okay. Or something like that, you know, given like the sequence you've understood. So that's the first two rounds, and that's what we'll be playing today. But then the third round is a grid of words, sort of like code names. Mm-hmm. And you have to find the four distinct groupings made up of all those words. And they're also really devious with them. Like, you might see the names of all the Spice Girls, but actually, like, Sporty might be in a group of words that are like, these are things you would describe track jacket with, or like whatever. Sure, and then like Ginger might be in a group with like other words that start with a word meaning an alcohol. You know, like it's really cool. And then the very final round is a missing vowels round, where they give a thing of how all the answers are connected. Like, these are all things that fold, and then they'll show you what the thing is, but only consonants, and you have to be like poker players.
There we go.
Or like failing businesses. Like, it's really cool. Anyway.
Okay. All right. I'm into this.
I'm just putting the plug out there for people to watch that show, because it's great. So these, though, today's questions are all about the Matrix Revolutions in some way or another.
Great.
So you have to figure out the connections for this first round of the connecting round. The first group... Oh, the other thing, you know how like in Jeopardy you choose a category and a dollar amount, or like in something else, you might choose a number, like pick number 1 through 4 or whatever. They're like, pick which card you want or pick which round you're getting are all Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Okay.
So it'll be like, pick an Egyptian hieroglyph. And the person will be like, we'll take the Eye of Horus, please. It has nothing to do with it. It's just like how they categorize
things. That is wild.
Anyway. Okay, so this first one. I'll give you one clue at a time, and you'll ask me for a next one if you want the next one. French. Actually, I'll just give you all of them because this is crazy.
I'll go ahead and need another one.
Yeah, yeah. Sexual.
Okay, Merovingian.
No, good guess. Industrial.
Oh. Revolution.
Yes, so you get 2 points for that because you only needed 3 clues. The fourth clue would have been American.
Man, Merovingian was pretty good for French and sexual.
He was. So though, would have been Persephone.
That's true. Also French and sexual.
Okay, the next one is, it begins with The Matrix Revolutions.
Sequels.
The second one is Memento.
Oh, okay. Keep going.
The third one is Jessica Jones.
Oh, stuff starring the actor who plays Trinity.
Yes, that's right. Carrie Ann Moss. Yeah, the fourth one was going to be The Matrix Resurrections because she's one of the two, you know, returning.
Carrie Ann Moss. That's her name.
Okay. This is another thing. Like, sometimes the format will be like a name and a city, or like a number and a character, or things like that. So this one is like, you, each clue is 2 things. The first one, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix, comma, Jason Piper.
Okay.
Which will not be helpful. The next one is The Matrix Revolutions and Ian Bliss.
Ooh, okay, keep going.
The third one is Batman and Robin and Jeep Swenson.
Who are these people? Okay.
And
last
then that's
one,
the other
I
thing
guess.
That happens in the game. They get they make it progressively more obvious. Hopefully this does. The Dark Knight Rises and Tom Hardy.
Oh, actors who play someone named Bane?
Yeah. In that movie. So there's a centaur in Harry Potter Bane, and he's seen on screen like briefly, and he's played by Jason Piper.
I forgot that there was a centaur named Bane.
Yeah.
Because they really just go over that storyline very briefly.
But yeah, you've managed to get points on all of these. So we're now in the sequences round. So you'll get 3 things, and you'll have to guess what the fourth thing is going to be.
Okay.
So the first one is, again, it's like a name and another name. Divergent, comma, Theo James.
Okay.
The next one is Star Wars, comma, Anthony Daniels.
Okay.
The third one is Austin Powers, comma, Robert Wagner.
Okay.
So what is the fourth?
Old British men. Anthony Daniels is really the only one I know of those. Divergent. What was the Divergent one?
Theo James.
I don't know who that is. Anthony Daniels, Star Wars, Robert Wagner?
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea.
Okay, to give you a clue, it's essentially the same format as the last question.
Okay, so we got the Matrix. Is it having to do with the Matrix?
The final answer will actually, yes.
So the Matrix Matrix Revolutions, comma, I don't know, Lawrence Fishburne.
Very close. It was The Matrix or The Matrix Revolutions, either one, or Reloaded for that matter, comma, Keanu Reeves.
Oh.
The sequence is a movie and then a character played by the actor. The character's name has a number in it, and they are in descending order. So the sequence was 4-3-2-1. The character in Divergent's name is 4. The character in Star Wars is C-3PO. The character in Austin Powers is number 2.
Number 2. And then the 1. And then
the 1. Wow. Yeah.
Okay, so that's some real lateral stuff. Okay, great. All right.
Yeah, we watched one this morning where it was the sequence was like first, second, third. So you know the last one was going to start with fourth, and then it was Roman numerals. So it was like first, VII, second, something. I can't remember. And what it was if you translated the Roman numeral into a number, but you spelled the number, they were in alphabetical order.
That's wild.
So it was like 8, whatever, like E-I-G-H-T, like so silly, crazy. Anyway, okay. Next, March 1999.
Okay.
May 2003.
Okay.
October 2003.
Okay. I feel like there might be a trick happening because I'm pretty sure that's when all the Matrix movies came out. So December 2021?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay, good. There wasn't a trick. Phew.
I was like hoping you wouldn't know the thing about they were in the same year because that question is like so weird. But
yeah,
you figured it out.
It's lucky that I learned that right before we started recording.
Yeah, right. Okay, next one. Jupiter Ascending.
Mm.
Cloud Atlas.
Okay.
Speed Racer.
The Matrix?
And the fourth would be...
What did you say? The Matrix?
No, I'm sorry. It's The Matrix Revolutions.
Ah, because I was going to say this is like going backwards in the Wachowskis filmography.
Yeah, directorial canon. Because they, of course, also produced V for Vendetta after The Matrix trilogy, but before Speed Racer. But this is directed by credit.
I forgot they made
Speed Racer. I never saw Speed Racer, but I now really feel like I should. Apparently, it certainly looks like something.
Apparently, Speed Racer is incredible. Like, it's one of those movies that like no one saw, but the people who do like it are like, it's amazing.
And I think it got like really panned at its release because it's like crazy looking.
Yeah.
But I think
it was supposed to be crazy looking.
Yeah, right. And then I have one bonus one. And I just wrote this right before we started. It's only 3 instead of 4, and it's not a sequence. But even that is maybe a clue that it's only 3, because there are only 3 of these. The names are Lena Dupree.
Okay.
Simone Lenoir.
Oh.
And Jacques the Ferry Driver. And also, this has nothing to do with The Matrix.
Jacques the Ferry Driver sounds familiar.
Lena Dupree, Simone Lenoir, and Jacques the Ferry Driver.
I have no idea.
They are all people who turn into werecats in Scooby-Doo on Scooby Island.
That's why it sounded familiar.
That was The Matrix Only Connect, or Matrix Revolutions, I think.
I love that game. Honestly, that numbers in their name question was amazing, and you should go right for that show.
That is like the type of question you'll see on there, like... you have to do it's a lot of them are like you have to do a crossword puzzle clue in order to even know what the thing says, you know, like,
right.
And then you have to see what the pattern is. It's a lot of brain work.
I did the crossword every day in 2020 with my parents, and I don't do it at all, and I miss it. It's so fun.
Damn.
Some people can do like the Monday crossword in like 3 minutes, and I'm like, I don't know if I can physically type that fast. Like, how are you doing all these clues so easily and not Googling something?
Maybe I should start doing that. That sounds like a fun thing to do.
Honestly, the crossword is super fun. Like the New York Times crossword. It is annoying though, because you have to have a separate subscription for it. Then, like, because if you have a New York Times subscription, it doesn't give you a crossword subscription. You have to get a separate subscription.
They like know that they have you.
Yeah, they know that people get it only for the crossword. So they're like, no, you can just pay separately for that if you want.
Yeah.
It's not that expensive. It's just like an annoying thing to have to pay extra for.
I'm getting my notes back up to see if I had anything else.
Let's see what else. I didn't take a lot of notes. Let me see what else I have.
The big final fight between Neo and Smith, we haven't really talked about, but I think people, a lot of people don't love it because it's like so big and like.
It is.
Like, I saw the VFX Artist React guys talk about it, how, like, when he's, like, slow-mo punching the raindrops, and they're, like, long, almost like icicles that he's punching through, and they're, like, that's actually because we have to know this when we render video. That's not how Falling Rain looks. And right. I was like, yeah, but it does in the Matrix.
Also, I don't know if that's true because yes, it is. Like, I have seen, this is a weird thing that I may have told the story before. Anyway, before I tell this, my big thing about that last one, well, all I wrote was, this is some anime shit. Because that last fight
is totally anime.
Is so anime, because there's right. multiple times where each of them is like down, but then kind of just gets up and shakes it off and is like, yeah. I have more power left.
And then they
left.
Like fly, like, they like fall up into the sky. Like,
yeah. But I have told this story maybe on the show before. I can't remember. I tell this story all the time. But like one time I was at Six Flags in high school and it had started raining. And so everyone was leaving and going, we were at a choir competition. So we were like all going to get the awards for this choir thing, but it started raining. And so we had a little bit of time, but everyone had left, but some of the rides were still operating.
Mm.
And so there was no ride for Superman, the ride, which at the Six Flags in Texas is one of those where you just sit in it and it goes up really fast and then down really fast and then
sure.
up really fast and down really fast. So you're like, you feel like you're taking off and flying like Superman or whatever.
The, like, tower thing.
Yes, exactly.
And that, so, in Roller Coaster Tycoon, if you make it the shortest distance and the fastest launch speed, you can kill groups of people.
Yeah. Which reminds me of a story that, like, is one of those, like, sort of, probably everyone has heard of someone who did this, but like, I can't remember if I had a friend who did it or if I learned about it online, but like, if you're playing through like the campaign mode, there's like neighboring parks that are competing or whatever. Oh. And so you can set up a ride where it's one that has where it goes like wee-loo, and it goes yeah. back, but if you make it maximum speed, it shoots them off, but then they uh-huh. go into the other park
they
and
explode
die
in a neighboring park.
And so it makes it tanks the neighboring park's reputation because people keep dying over there. And so then you start winning the game because
well,
no one goes.
Well, that's like how
the
no
park.
One is allowed to die at Disney World. Like,
yes.
Like, there's like medics and people on staff to get you off of the premises in order for you to die if
yeah.
if you are at risk of that.
But anyway, so we got on the Superman because there was no line because it was raining, and it was very cool. Like, I don't know, it taught me. Like, I got like a really great firsthand experience with relativity, because when we were up in the air and then going down, I watched raindrops stop
that's
and go
cool.
back up in the sky
wow.
because we were falling quicker than the raindrops. And it did look like individual raindrops. Like, it was like,
oh yeah, no, that's what these VFX guys were saying the Matrix doesn't do. The Matrix raindrops were these like long, almost like icicle, like lines. 'Cause like his fist punches through, you know,
I see.
They almost look like sticks.
Well, maybe he's going so fast that that's what they look like, you know? Who knows?
Right. That well, and that's the other thing. It's the Matrix, and, like, why is he wearing sunglasses inside? Like, we
right.
could be doing this all day. It looks cool is yeah. the answer.
Yeah, that last fight is anime as shit. It's like,
yeah,
there's multiple
time.
Times where they're like, my power levels are not even reached yet. But then
it
really
is funny that everybody in the world now presumably is Smith, yet he is like, I have to fight him one-on-one.
Right, he's still doing a 1v1 thing, and it's like,
yeah.
you literally almost beat him earlier in the last movie when
yeah.
you just did a bunch of guys, so maybe just do a bunch of guys again?
Yeah, right.
Or maybe he's taking all his power into one person so that he can
yeah,
like
right,
really,
right.
really take him on. What are my other notes? Let's see. Oh, also, there's a weird sense in this movie, too, that, like, Smith is, even though he is sort of the main bad guy of this one, he's sort of not around for half of it as well. Like, it's a very
yeah.
much, like, he comes in the very beginning, or no, he comes in the very beginning as Bane, and then in the middle, whenever he takes over the Oracle,
does,
and then
yeah.
not until the very end.
He
and
does
so,
like two major things, which is funny because like he is so all over the last movie, and like he's not necessary in it.
Right. It's very weird because it's like the threat of him taking over the entire Matrix as Agent Smith and making everybody into an Agent Smith is like not. I did not clock it at all until Neo said it to the main
right.
machine as a
right.
threat. Like, I was like, that's okay. Is that what?
Yeah, we
oh,
could
okay.
have gotten, like, two Smith taking over people's body scenes in this movie instead of any of his appearances in the previous one.
Yeah.
And then we build up this threat throughout this movie. And then, to your point you first made when we started the episode, this movie would be about something on its own.
Yes, exactly.
It would be about like curbing the Smith threat.
Well, and having a sequel really not function by itself and function as like, well, I don't know.
As a wrap up.
As a wrap up. I would say it's prequels again, man. It's prequels again.
Yeah, the Matrix is prequels big time. They came out in the same year. I mean, like, they came out, you know, all at the same time, basically.
Yeah.
1999, The Matrix and The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
And then Attack of the Clones was 2002, right? So these came out right after that. Yeah, it's prequels because, like, none of the prequels really, except for, you could maybe argue, Phantom Menace function really alone. Like, they all need to be as a part of the greater story to be understood well.
Uh-huh.
The original trilogy, I think they can all stand by themselves. Sequel trilogy, I think mostly can stand by themselves. Even like Rise of Skywalker, for how clunky it is. Like, I think you can make the argument
the save the day at the end thing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very prequels. Like, once it's what we were saying in last episode too. This movie feels less Star Wars for some reason, or maybe exactly the same. I can't decide.
Yeah, I think we discovered fairly recently that we want the Star Wars chili to taste more like the original trilogy and even prequels, but it's starting to taste more and more like the Disney era.
Yes.
And so, like, I wonder if, because this is structure-wise a lot like the prequels and a lot like Return of the Jedi, but it is maybe not quite as satisfying as those, which is, like, a trademark of the Disney era. Like, things not being, like, feeling nearly as satisfying.
Well. Yeah.
That, like, this is maybe a pretty Star Wars movie.
Yeah, I think, like, the ways in which the second one felt prequelsy, and that it's just sort of like throws a bunch of world building onto you where it's like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And the ways in which it doesn't feel that way in this movie, it's made up for having a sort of a lackluster finish that makes it feel, because even like original trilogy, the way they wrap it up is like, oh, we're just doing the first movie again? Okay. Like, it's well executed, but it is not necessarily super satisfying because you're like, we just saw a movie like this.
It's the first movie, but the bad guy's badder and the thing you have to blow up is bigger.
Yeah. And so maybe that makes up for the disparity, because it feels, I think I'm coming around now. I think it's like exactly as Star Wars as Matrix Reloaded,
but for different reasons,
slightly different ways. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I think style wise, it might. Oh yeah, no. I think you're right. I think like every aspect we could look at, it is more or less Star Wars than Reloaded, but you net the same number.
yeah, exactly. Like,
trying to think, like, is there sneaking around?
I mean, yeah.
The like trip to the, I almost called it the Cloud City, which is Star Wars, the Machine City. They had to go above the clouds. Here's a fun bit of music trivia for you. I was going to say, like, is there music? There's kind of, I mean, it's Matrix music, but the first, like, in fact, it's as the, like, Village Roadshow title card shows up at the very beginning of the movie, and you hear the, like, horns that are like, wah, wah, wah. In each movie, that is modulated up a half step. So like each movie is like,
it's a little more intense.
Yeah, so my guess is whatever the key that is played in The Matrix Revolutions, that in The Matrix Resurrection it'll be another half step up.
they better continue that. If they don't, you need to come in with a pitch pipe and just be like, is it,
yeah,
unless you have perfect pitch.
Yeah, a pitch pipe.
And if you have perfect pitch, you'll just know. But if you don't have perfect pitch, bring in a pitch pipe, test it.
Right Or just like have a headphone in and listen to The Matrix Revolution.
Yes, just on repeat, that one part just over and over again.
To yeah, be
like,
okay.
I've mentioned this to you recently in text, but like people with perfect pitch who say they have perfect pitch annoy me because I'm like, how do you know? Like, which, like, I guess that's the whole point, is that they do know, but I'm like,
right.
There was like, I had friends who have like relative pitch, which is like, you know, similar, but it's like, you can't necessarily pull it out of the air.
You can hear a C and then give you like G or whatever.
Yeah. Or like once they've heard something a lot, they can do it and be like, here's an A.
Right.
You know, like
right,
I had a friend who, in a show I was in, we were coming in and we had to, from a song, we were starting a song and we both had to sing an A, and she would be like, here it is, and I would always be like, is that it? And then I'd always test it, and she was always right, but I was always like,
yeah,
how do you know?
Fucking sucks that she was always right.
I know but like, I shouldn't be mad about it, because I can do it for violin, because I've been playing violin so long that if I hear I have relative pitch.
Like your Patreon story that you just told, that you could hear everybody's instruments weren't right.
Yes, yes, yes. Like, if a violin is out of tune, I can tell. And also, like, I can normally pull out an A if I go, bah! Like, I think that's an A.
Uh-huh.
But it might not be. But if a violin is playing in a song, I can tell you what key the song's in because I can play along in my brain and, like, feel out what it is.
Sure, yeah.
Let me see if that's an A. How do I need to find... I used to have a piano app on my phone, but I think I deleted it.
Oh, I think I
know. Oh, never mind. I found it. Yeah, I think that's an A. Let's see.
Oh, were you tuning?
I was a half step off. Damn!
Wow, hell yeah, though. That's
that was close.
Good. That is reminding me of, speaking of title of show again, the song... stuck in a show where I am playing me. Do you know that show?
Yes, I've listened to it. I don't
when
know it super
well,
but I know it.
The entire time the songwriter is chiming in with the correct note she should be singing, and like she like fixes it, and then in the third time she goes spree, and he goes spree, and she says that is the note I'm singing, Jeff.
Yes, that was what I was just doing just now in my brain.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can pull out an A, but I can always do it if there's a song playing that has violin in it. Wait, this is a weird little sidetrack that we just took, but why did I bring this up? Oh, because of the thing
at the
beginning.
Like title card pitch. Yeah, right.
All right. Well, let's see. It's music. We were talking about sneaking around. You know what?
Good guys, bad guys. It's clear. Although The Matrix does a good job making it a little bit murky who the good guys and bad guys are. I mean, like, not really. Like, the bad guys are the machines in this, but like. The
question.
I'm really excited to talk about the Animatrix with you because like the war that like begins, it people are on a bit more equal footing before like the pods are created, and it's like, oh, the people are being really bad to these robots.
Right, and it's also I think the question of control and like who is in charge that was brought up in the second one is not really explored in this, but it is because of the way that Neo ends the war, basically being like, we. Much like the humans need the machines that make their water, the machines need these humans, and vice versa. So, I don't know. We should probably move towards wrapping up.
In a way of Star Wars movies, the good guy, it's always very clear, and they save the day. They rid it of evil. At the end of this, the saving of the day is like kind of just splitting the difference of where they started.
Yeah, it's
like,
a little bit of a stalemate.
It's like, okay, here's what we'll do. You guys basically win. You keep everything how it was, but instead of trying to kill the like 50 of us who want out, you won't.
Yeah. Like, it's essentially saying
that's a pretty like tepid day saving, and that like does not happen in Star Wars.
They're like doing soccer where you can tie, whereas in Star Wars it's like, no, there has to be a winner.
Yeah, it's Star Wars is like basketball or American football.
Yeah, and then the Matrix is soccer.
That's a really good way of putting it. It because that is kind of true throughout.
Yeah, just in general. It's a little headier, a little more refined.
It's a little less interesting.
A little less interesting, not as like much fun in some aspects.
Yeah.
Let's
and
see.
And I just love these movies.
Yeah. I like them too. I'm a fan now. I want to watch them again when I have more like leisure time to just kind of sit and enjoy. But we should move to wrapping up. I think I can probably pick a unit
I think
of measure.
We even covered it. Unit of measure. For me, it's going to be just those big bullet chains.
Yeah. Which is like the worst reload system possible. Let's have like three guys.
Have a guy from like two football fields away have to like wheelbarrow new bullets to you.
Like truly, they should have gone back to the drawing board and been like, okay, we got to figure out a better way to carry ammo or something.
Yeah.
Or just like throw it at them with the catapult so they can just put it on or something, because to have three squishy bodies have to bring you ammo every time,
it's
a terrible idea.
Pretty dumb.
I'm gonna do big ass jokes.
Yeah.
Okay. Even though there's only two in this, so it's pretty higher than that. But
you're going to say how many you wish there were.
Yeah. I wish there were more. I wish Jada Pinkett Smith had talked about them.
I wish there were 6.25 of them.
Yeah. I wish there were more big ass jokes.
Yeah.
I mean, should we just give it the, because I feel like I'm going to give it a 6 again.
Yeah.
Or a 6.5. We could reverse if we want.
Yeah. Let's do that. Let's reverse it.
Okay. I'll give it a 6.5 big ass jokes.
And I'll give it a 6 bullet chains.
The half joke of an ass joke would be like if you walked in and was like, where's my ass? Instead of where's my put?
Or like you get a, they make a real point to show only one butt cheek.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
someone
yeah.
gets kicked in the butt and it's only one butt cheek.
They're like, my one cheek.
Oh, my left butt cheek.
What do you
And it's Agent Smith that happens to.
And it makes a bowling pin noise when he gets hit. Or like it's like a clown squeaking nose, like no noise. He gets kicked. It goes like, okay.
Oh,
man. Well, this has been our second episode of Matrix Month.
Yeah.
We'll be back next week to talk about the Animatrix.
And then we'll talk about a Star Wars movie, and then sometime in the future we'll talk about the new Matrix movie.
Yes, soon we will. And do you want us on the internet? Because if you do, you can find us at How Star Wars Is It on Twitter and Instagram. Send us an email at agoodpodcast@gmail.com.
We got any good ones lately?
Yeah, let me see.
From any bots? Any machines?
Yeah, actually. So this one's fun. We got an email from Match. And it says, Sandra, you've still got 33 unread messages. See what they said?
I keep getting that exact one on my emails. I wonder if it's maybe I'm linked to both or something, but I was like, who's Sandra?
Yeah, I don't know who Sandra is, but members are waiting for her response. So,
wow.
Yeah, Sandra's got 33 unread messages.
Bizarre.
Maybe Sandra used the throwaway email and they made it agoodpodcast@gmail.com thinking that there's no way.
Or maybe they're doing the thing that... that Nathan For You does on an episode, trying to make a psychic seem more psychic. She puts out a bunch of ads that say, like, is your name Maria Rodriguez or something like that?
And yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
like statistically in Los Angeles, there were like quite a few.
Right. There's going to be a Sandra somewhere.
So maybe it's just like, we're going to get one Sandra.
Yeah. Yeah. This one is also from Match. Hi, Sandra. You're getting noticed. 37 members are interested in you. See what you've received this week. So I don't know.
So you could contribute to this if you want to email us at agoodpodcast@gmail.com. You could also check out our Patreon, get teased every so often, or hear mm-hmm. Josiah's violin story. That's patreon.com/howstarwarsisit for $5 a month. You get a weekly bonus episode and a monthly commentary track, and we are nearing the end of those. So
yeah.
If you do join the Patreon, you can let us know on the Discord server what you want to hear next as like a monthly thing.
Yeah, our commentary for this month for December was Solo, and it is, I think, our best one yet. It's
big time.
Also, if you think that you have to watch the movie along with these commentaries, you don't. You can just, they're basically like a podcast.
We basically don't either.
Yeah. They're basically like a podcast episode, but we're talking specifically most of the time about the movie that we're watching.
Yeah.
And it's a really good episode. Y'all should listen to it. But it's about time for Tell You Bye Bye. And like we always say, we love you.
And
may the fourth be with you.
Bye-bye.